Matt Muhammad Aleph. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't know. A bunch of lines down. It says Bain Lishvias, and then it starts Taima Delulav. That's where we're picking it up from. Taima. The reason why the lulav is not a problem, in other words, you're allowed to pay money for the lulav, is because the money that you pay for the lulav does not become shvius money, right? If you remember, we discussed this last week, that any time that you purchase something that is shvius, produce, shvius, fruit, so then the kedusha transfers, right? Remember this? The kedusha transfers from a fruit to the money that you use to buy it. And the fruit remains with its kedusha, but so does the money. And that's a problem, we said, for the Amei Aretz, because they may save the money, they may not buy food with it that they're going to eat, but Kedusha Shvius, and therefore the money is going to retain its Kedusha Shvius, and then that's going to cause all kinds of problems. So we want to avoid giving money that has Kedusha Shvius to Amei Haaretz who aren't going to relate to it appropriately. So the Mishnah said that there's no problem buying the Lulav and the Hadassim and the Aravas, the only problem is the Esrik. And the Gemara wanted to know why that is. And the Gemara answered, because the lulav is defined by the time in which it ripened. So therefore the lulav that's being used during the seventh year was produced, it ripened in the sixth year. So the lulav is not a problem because it's not defined as shvius produce. Yeah? So that's the Gemara says, time of the lulav, the reason why the lulav is not a problem is because it's bar shishis, Hanichnas leshviyashu. It's a sixth year item that entered into the seventh year. It was just harvested on the seventh year. But the year in which to which it belongs is not defined by the harvesting. It's defined by its growth. Okay? The implication of that, of course, is ha deshviyas kadosh. If it had grown in the seventh year, itaka would be kadosh, which would be a problem. The next year with the lulav. What does that mean? That means that the lulav can be perus shvius. The lulav can be considered produce of shvius. That's what the Gemara is medayik from the answer that we gave. So, okay, what's the problem? What's wrong with that? Am I? Why should that be? Eitzim ba'almuhu. It's just sticks. It's just wood. It's not fruit, it's not produce, it's not something that you could apply the laws of Shavuos to. And that's what the Gemara is going to get involved in now. What exactly is the definition? What does Shavuos apply to? The Eitzem, Ein Ben Mishum Kedusha Shavuos, wood, sticks, anything like that, does not have within it because of Kedusha Shavuos. Normal English, the Kedusha, all the rules of Shvius, of Shemitah, do not apply to sticks, trees, anything like that. It only applies to produce, things that you can consume, you can eat. The sign is learned in a brisa. Alekanim, alegefanim, the leaves of reeds and the leaves of the vine, shegavavan lechuba, that you collect, see, these are funny words, givavan lechuba. So Rashi says, givavan min sheknisan la'otzaran. You gathered them in, you put them into the otzar. What's an otzar? That's an agura. Otzar. A storehouse. Could be a treasure house. A storehouse. It means a place where you store things. An otzar. You can have an otzar svarim, like a library, you know. What?
It also, like a dictionary,
is called otzar. Okay. So it's a place that everything is collected and stored. L'chuba, that's a really funny word. Rashi says, Lashon mechabe, a language of hiding. Hiding something away. In other words, it's kind of, you're storing it up for long term. So these types of leaves and branches that you are, if you are storing them away, al pnei hasadeh, which here means from, where you collected them. You collected them from the field. So, I don't know what to tell you. It's like a little bit of a funny line, but that's what it means. It means these types of leaves and branches that you stored away for safekeeping, al pnei hasadeh, from the face of the field, it depends. Liktan le'achila, if you collected them to eat them, yesh mem mishum kedusha shvius, then they have kedusha shvius. Liktan la'etzim, if you collected them for wood, ein bohem mishum kedusha shvius, they do not have in them kedushas shvius. Now, by the way, I don't think any people eat these things, but it is possible to give them to your animals. So Rashi says, liktan la'achila, you collected them for eating purposes, lamachal behema. Animals. People don't eat these things. But at least the animals would. So what just happened? This is a question, this is an answer, this is a stama statement. What just happened in the Gemara here? What's the flow? So the flow is the Gemara was medayek a rule. The Gemara was medayek a statement. That's what starts our Gemara. What's the diuk that we have a statement from? That lulav, what about the lulav? A lulav in the seventh year has kedushas shvius. Okay? Starting point of our Gemara. A lulav has kedushas shvius. Gemara has a question on that. Question is, that's not true. Something like that. Gemara didn't spell out what does exactly. I kind of just said it so that we'd have at least a working hypothesis. But the Gemara doesn't say what does have kedushas shvius, but it does spell out that sticks, wood, does not have kedushas shvius. Now, what does the Gemara do next? Proves it. It proves it. You always have to have a proof. You can't just say whatever you want. So if you're going to suggest that I'm wrong, in other words, let's say it like this. We were medayik. It was an extrapolation that lulav has kedusha shvius. It's actually not spelled out clearly in the Mishnah. But it's a clear indication. That is an implication, yeah? The fact that the lulav is fine because it's the sixth year implies the seventh year it's not fine. Okay, but we have an explicit statement that sticks don't have kedusha shvius. Is that true? Well, the Braisa said it depends. If it's a type of thing that lends itself to animal fodder, then what? Then it depends why you collected it. That's the Braisa. The Braisa says you have certain types of things that could be used for animal food. So if you're storing it away for animal food, it gains the definition of what? Food. And then what happens to it? It's defined as having kedushas shvius. It's defined as food. If you have no interest or intention in using it for animal fodder, then it remains by its essential definition, maybe, that it sticks, leaves, branches, whatever, and therefore it is not. It does not have what? Kedusha shvius. So it depends. So now, based on that, we have a question on lulav? Or this resolved it? What just happened here? It was supposed to be a proof for the problem. So let's work it out. Statement. Lulav has kedusha shvius. Question. Sticks and stones don't have kedusha shvius. Proof that that's true. Because if you go ahead and you collect leaves and branches, then it depends. If it's the type of thing that lends itself to animal food, it depends what you collected it for. What is that? Okay, so where are we holding right now? And lulav?
That does answer your question.
How so?
Because you said that is sticks and branches. Could, you said sticks and branches aren't considered, and then you said how do we know, and then you said, well, if you do collect them for food for animals, then it actually does have
kedusha shvius. Right. Good. So what about a lulav? Let's bring it back full circle.
Lulav is a brand, is a stick, but you're not using it for food, so it doesn't have kedusha shvius.
Exactly. Bingo. Good job. That since a lulav is never used for food, so then a lulav would be defined as a stick. And anything which doesn't lend itself to animal food, there's no question about it that does not have kedusha shvius. It's only things that lend themselves to food that you could possibly define as food and shayich to kedusha shvius, because it could be defined as food. If you collected and stored it up to be food. Okay, but we're talking about a lulav. So lulav is never used for food, in which case it's clear from the braisa that it's defined as a stick, and sticks do not have kedushas shvius. Perfect. So that's what we're holding. Statement, question, proof for the question. Now we need an answer. Gemara's going to give an answer?
Not an answer.
That's a question. That's a proof of a question, right?
Oh, yeah.
So we have, what's the problem now? The problem is then why should a lulav ever have kedusha shvius? And we were just medayik that it has kedusha shvius as long as it came from the seventh year. So that's a problem. So how does the Gemara answer? What are the words that begin the answer? Next two words, anybody? Two first two words on the line, Shani Hasa. Remember Maralev? Shani Hasan. It's different there. Is that the language of an answer, a question, a statement? What's Shani Hasan?
It's like no, that's an exception.
It's an answer. Yeah. Correct. Shani Hasan. The case of Lulav is different. Or the case of the Braisa is different. So we'll have to figure out which one it is. One of them is different. Your rule doesn't apply. What's Shani Hasam? Shani Hasam is different, quote unquote, there. We'll have to figure out which one the there is. The Amar Kra, because the Pasuk says, Lachem le'achla. The Pasuk says, when it comes to Shemitah, you're allowed to eat it. Lachem, it's yours, le'achla, to eat. In other words, you're not allowed to do business with it. There's certain things that you have to make it hefker, right? But you're still allowed to eat it. You're still allowed to do things with it, certain things with it, and certain things you're not allowed to do with it. Right? So what are you allowed? What are you not allowed to do? What defines? What's the definition of what you're allowed to do and not allowed to do? So you ready for this? Let's think this through. The Torah says, Lachem la'achla. It's yours to eat. You with me? It's yours to eat. Well, make up your mind. If you want to tell me the only thing I'm allowed to do with it is eat it, then what should you tell me? Not it's yours to eat, but you can eat it. It's yours implies what? And you can do whatever you want with it. It's yours. If it's yours,
so
you do whatever you want.
Eating is an option.
What?
It's yours to eat.
Sounds like it's a limitation on what you can do with it. But if the only thing you're allowed to do with it is eat, it shouldn't have said lachem le'achla. It should have said viyula le'achla lachila. You can eat it. Don't say it's yours to eat. It sounds like you're hedging. Are you with me on this? Because this is important to understand the Gemara. Good catch. The Gemara is saying it's yours, but only to eat. Well, then you should have said it's yours to eat. Or you should have just said it's to eat. Leave out yours. And if it's yours and it's not limited to achila, you can do whatever you want with it, and just say lachem. So there seems to be a problem here. Which one is it? Okay, so the Gemara says, Shani Hasam, it's different over there, Damarkra, because the Pasuk says, by Shemitah, Lachem le'achla, it's yours to eat. Lachem, okay, so by the way, just to think this through, right? We could go in one of two directions on this. We could say, really, all you're allowed to do is eat it, but you can do a little bit more, you can eat it in a funny way. You hear what I'm saying? Let's talk this through.
Whenever you have a contradiction in terms, there's a principle and a limitation. So either you can say the principle is completely and totally limited by the limitation, or you can say the limitation is expanded by the principle. We have a problem here, because there's like a rule and a mitigation of the rule. Well, if the mitigation is all we want, you don't need the rule. Don't say the rule. Just say lachila. If there's no mitigation, then just say the rule, lachem. So now we know we have to balance our equation here. We have to balance it out. But there are two ways to balance it out. One way to balance it out is to say, well, it's yours similar to eating, or you're only allowed to eat it, but in a slightly modified way. But there has to be a balance between the two. So where is the balance here? So the Gemara says, Lachem dumya dila achla. It's yours for everything you want, but not quite everything. The expansion, you don't just have to eat it. It's yours, but it's only yours in a way that's similar to eating. Okay, what does that mean? It's yours in a way that's similar to eating. So the Gemara explains. It means that the time you get hana'a, that which hana'aso, it's enjoyment, it's pleasure, ubi'uro,
What's biuro? Literally, to burn it up. Lusivaru eish. That's what we discussed this morning. It's destruction. Shaveh. What's shaveh? Equal. Literally equal. Something which its pleasure and its destruction are equal. We're going to change the word from equal to simultaneous. You okay with that? You're not going to pull up your sleeves and fight me, right? Well, so we'll see. As long as you're not, I'm safe. That which its pleasure and its destruction are simultaneous. Yatzu Eitzim, this is what we discussed this morning. The exclusion to that, that excludes wood. Shahana Asan Achar Biuran. David, you with me? Its enjoyment is only after its destruction. How did I explain that this morning? Coals. Because when you want to go ahead and burn wood, what you do is you light it on fire and you wait until it becomes nice, hot, red coals, and then you can go ahead and use it for cooking. But until then, it's too much of a fire. It's going to burn your stuff. It's not usable for cooking. So the hana that you get from burning the wood is not simultaneous to its destruction. It's actually later. Okay. So what just happened? So Gemara said that when it comes to the definition of what you're allowed to use, well, here's where it gets tricky. The definition of what Kedushas Shavias applies to. Are you ready to follow me on this? The definition. What does Shavias apply to? Well, we know it applies to food. Because it says that the stuff that grows during Shemitah you're allowed to eat. Well, so we eat food. So we know it applies to food. But it says, Lachem le'achla. It's yours to eat. So here's the question. Let's say, can you give me an example? What would be like a fruit that you could use as an oil?
You could use an orange peel.
Orange peel. Olives. So there's certain... You can be creative, I don't mind. There are certain things that are going to lend themselves both to eating and other uses. So are you allowed to use it for its secondary use? Are you allowed to use orange peel for its medicinal properties, for its skin-smoothing properties, whatever it may have? Well, if the Torah says all you're allowed to do with it is eat it, I guess all you're allowed to do is eat it. If it says it's yours, well, then you can do whatever you want with it. It's yours to eat means you're allowed to get any pleasure from it that's similar to the pleasure of eating. What do you mean? That the pleasure you get is simultaneous to the destruction or the consumption of the object. So what's not like that? Well, the example the Gemara gives is wood. Because when you burn it, you're not getting hana, you're not getting pleasure right away until it turns into coals. When you eat a fruit, the pleasure is simultaneous to its destruction. You chew it up and you're enjoying it. But anything which you have to wait until it's destroyed before you're able to get benefit from it, it's not simultaneous. The pleasure and the destruction are not simultaneous, in which case you're not allowed to get hana from that. Or that's not something that's an issue. It's not something you're not allowed to get hana from, or it's defining what has Kedushas Shvias. Let me just make sure my question is getting blank stares. I'm confused, and so are you, and we need to work out our confusion. Is the Gemara trying to define objects that have Kedushas Shvias? Or is the Gemara trying to identify what you're allowed to do with your Shvias product? Because we started with lulav, right? And we want to know if lulav has kedushas shvias. So what the Gemara seems to be doing is saying, well, let's figure out what has kedushas shvias based on what you're allowed to do with it. So anything that its consumption and enjoyment are simultaneous has kedushas shvias. And anything which its consumption and its enjoyment is not simultaneous, well, that's not part of what we call, that doesn't have Kedushas Shvias. An example? Wood! Sticks! Because when you burn it, you have to wait until it turns into coals, so the enjoyment is not until after it's already been consumed and destroyed. Now it's just coals. So that doesn't have Kedusha Shvius. That's not what the Torah is talking about. Oh, okay, fine. So then that would mean that a lulav, I don't know. Where does that leave us? So it does leave us somewhere, but we need a little extra step here. Take a look at Rashi. You see where the lines get wide? Go up four lines. Yatsu atzei, or sorry, we didn't read it yet. We're going to read the more line, we'll come to the Rashi. We'll read the line of the Gemara first, then come to Rashi. Okay, so you see in the middle, let's read it again. Shani Hasa. This is the answer of the Gemara. Again, struggle with Tarya. Gemara said, Lulav has Kedusha Shvius. Gemara says, no, it doesn't. It's a stick. I'll prove it to you. Sticks don't have Kedusha Shvius. Excellent. Gemara says, well, then why does a Lulav have Kedusha Shvius? Gemara answers. This is the answer. Shani Hasa. Because it's different when it comes to Shvius. Because the Torah says, the only thing that's defined as having Kedusha Shvius is something that its benefit, its pleasure, simultaneous to its destruction. That excludes wood, because its benefit is after its destruction. Asks the Gemara, Vahika Eitzim, Dimash. Sorry, this is Rashi's Girsa problem. Okay, so we don't have to go on in the Gemara. Let's just read Rashi. Rashi's Yatu Atzei Hasaka. Our Gemara says Yatsu Eitzim. You see that? Rashi adds the word Hasaka. Shahanas anachar bi'uran. Wood that's used, Rashi adds the word for burning. So that's different. Rashi says, Mishanasu gichalim, oifin bahen. Once they become coals, you bake with them. Avalulav. Oh, Rashi's going to fill us in with the blank here. But lulav, ikar hana aso. Its essential benefit, l'chabeid es habayis. Do you know what that means, l'chabeid es habayis? That's because you're men. L'chabeid es habayis means to sweep the house. You'll have to learn this. To sweep the house. What is he talking about? They didn't have brooms back then. What did they use? Yeah, Lulav is a perfect broom, right? It spreads out. Once it's spread out, he's like a broom. So that's what people would use them for. V'hu sha'as bi'uro v'kilkulo. When you sweep with a lulav branch, are you getting benefit simultaneous to its consumption or destruction?
Not really.
Yes. Lulav's getting destroyed when you come in your house.
You don't get enjoyment from sweeping, though.
Well, I mean, your house is nice and clean, right? But that's what you're using it for. No, it's function. What you're using it for, your benefit from it,
yeah,
is when you are destroying it. Because as you sweep with it, the lulav branches, of course, gets destroyed. And that's exactly what you're trying to do. You're trying to sweep. So your benefit from it is simultaneous to its destruction.
But that's not what the main purpose of a lulav is, especially in our case.
What do you mean?
When we're speaking about lulav, we're talking about doing like the mitzvah of lulav.
Correct. But keep in mind that we're not talking about just sukkahs. We're talking about lulav branches all the time. Is a lulav branch subject to the rules of shvius? So you're right that at one, a certain time of year, we are going to use it for the mitzvah. But the rest of the year, it's what do you call it? A broom. Therefore, Rashi says, "V'dami lahanas achila." Therefore, it is similar to benefit of food. Now, Rashi spells out just the brisa because we learned it. The branches that we discussed that lend themselves to animal fodder, so those could be used for either one. Hilkach basar machshava azli. So they go by your kavana. They go by what you're going to use it for. Now, that's not important for us to understand the lulav answer, but it is important just to understand the Gemara. Because what's going on with those branches? How come those branches go by what you're going to use it for? How come they're not just defined as one way or the other? So Rashi says, because it could go either way. So that's why those are different. But for our purposes, Gemara said, why in the world is a lulav branch statement? Lulav branch is subject to Shvius. Question in the Gemara, what are you talking about? It's just sticks. And we know, says the Braisa, that sticks are not shayach to Kedusha Shvius. Answers the Gemara, not exactly, because most sticks are used for cooking. And so there, benefit is not simultaneous to their consumption, to their destruction. But a lulav is. And that's exactly what the pasuk meant. Lachem la'achla. That it's not just lachem. It's not just for eating. It's lachem la'achla. It's any type of object that your benefit is simultaneous to its destruction. Those are things that Shvius applies to. Are we together? So the definition of items, of stuff, of produce that Shvius applies to is anything whose benefit is simultaneous to its destruction. Wood for burning is not, but lulav branches are because you sweep with it.
So that's what food is.
And certainly food. Food, of course. But even things which are not food have a hana that's similar to eating. How is there a hana that's similar to eating? When the benefit you get is simultaneous to its destruction. So that's where we're holding. So now we understand the Mishnah. That's why a lulav branch is shayich to Kedusha Shvius, because it's not like wood for burning. Its benefit is simultaneous to its destruction. Good. That's what we're up to. So there's a question. V'ha'ika eitzim demashchan. But there is wood that is mashchan. So here there's a little bit of an issue what this means. Rashi writes eitz shemen. What exactly is eitz shemen? Does it mean wood that has a lot of oil in it? Do you find wood that has oil in it naturally? Is it like a sap? Does it mean a wood that you've been soaking in oil? Well, but then that's just what you did with it. That's not inherent to the actual wood. Whatever it means to say that there are certain types of wood that I guess are typically used or generally used or could be used for warmth. Is that unheard of? That you'll burn something to warm yourself? Or maybe you'll burn something for light? So anything which is used to give you light, like let's say in this case, eight in the mashkan. Let's read Rashi. Rashi says, "Va'ika eight in the mashkan, eight shemen." Whatever that means exactly, but it's wood that has oil or whatever. Sha'eitz atzmoi madlikin boy leha'ir. That the wood itself is lit in order to give light. Kamo ba'avukos, like torches. V'havi hanas o b'yoroshave. So then, obviously, it's benefit is simultaneous to its destruction because you're burning it for light. Wax. Now, of course, wax is not going to be shaykh kedusha shvius, but that's what we're trying to compare it to. It's the fuel for the fire. It's not just coals later on. It's the fuel of the actual fire they're using to see. So, neima hashta miyayim liktan hadlakas ayra nagav shvius. At least our brisa should say that if you collected wood, not for the purpose of cooking, if you collected wood to burn for light, well, that should have Kedusha Shvius, right? How come the brisa makes it sound like there's no such thing? It's wood. No, sorry, wood's different. Why? But you could use wood for light. So again, the Gemara says, V'ha'ika eitzim demashchan. We have wood that's oily or used for light, let's say. The hanas and b'yoron shaveh, that its benefit and its consumption is simultaneous. What's going on? Our answers. Amar Rava, stam eitzim lahasaka hin oimdin. Stam eitzim without any particular use, stam eitzim, regular wood, lahasaka hin oimdin is standing for burning. That's a literal translation. What does it mean? It means that we define wood because, generally speaking, we don't use wood for light. Ever, right? People put wicks in oil. People use wax. Nowadays, of course, we don't use electricity. But nobody generally, it's not a normal thing to do, people don't normally use torches. You could. But if you would go and make a statistic, most wood is used for burning, for fires, for cooking. It's not used for light. Therefore, what? Therefore, Rava says, the object gains a definition because of that. Therefore, wood is defined as not being used for simultaneous hano when it's consumed. Yeah, you with me on that? Because most of it's not used like that, you're right, you could.
Just use
right. Wait, so now go back to the animal fodder thing. So what do you have to say about that? It could be used, but what do you mean? But this is, you know, vegetation. It sticks. So I guess you have to say statistically that it could, it's 50-50, right? Something like 50-50. Are you with me on what I'm saying now? There's different categories here. There are things that obviously lend themselves to their hanah and their biur is simultaneous. Like what? Give an example. Lula. And there are some things which are definitely the opposite. Like what? Like wood. Like typical wood that's used for coals. And what about in the middle? That would be animal fodder. I mean the sticks and stuff that you use for animals sometimes. Hay, and maybe a good example. Can we? I'm not 100% sure. Let's use hay as an example. You've seen bales of hay on the farms. Every time you drive anywhere near a farm, right? They dry it all out. What happens with all that hay? Well, nowadays it's probably all used for animals. But there was a time when it was used to stuff mattresses, and it was used for flooring. It was used for all kinds of things, because if you're doing something with oils, you're doing something with all kinds of stuff, there was hay on the floor to collect it, so you wouldn't get your floor all messy. So it was used for other purposes as well. So if it's used for animals, so then the hanoah is simultaneous destruction. If you're going to put it on your floor, I don't know that that's true. If you're going to stuff mattresses with it, maybe it's true. I don't know. But so that's what you have is this middle category. Something which could go either way, then it depends on your kavan. So certain things where hanoah and biur are simultaneous, kedusha shvius. Certain things where the hanoah and the biur are not simultaneous, like wood, because it's used for making coals for cooking. So the hanoah is not simultaneous, and therefore does not have kedusha shvius. In the middle are things that could go either way, like the alei gifanim, the leaves and the branches of the vines, grapevines and whatnot. So those things sometimes we use for animal fodder, sometimes not. So because it could go either way, it depends on your intention. Okay? Now I'm going to need your help with the rest of this Gemara. You ready? Gemara says, we're a little bit lower than the middle. Just going to finish the Amud. The Eitzim Lahasaka Tanaihi. You just made a major assumption. You said that wood that's used for burning to make coals for cooking does not have kedusha shvius. Yeah, that's what we said. Why? Why did we say that? Because Pasuk says lachem la'achla, for you to eat. It is for you, but only in a way that's similar to eating, i.e., that the hana and the destruction is simultaneous. That's a machlokes tanoim. That's a machlokes tanoim. Really? Dishani, as we learn in a braisa. Now listen to this. Until now, I thought we were defining types of things that shvius applies to. If you want to know what shvius applies to, it's things whose benefit and destruction are simultaneous, just like eating. You don't eat it. You don't eat a lulav. But because the way you get hana from a lulav is that you get benefit simultaneous as destruction, then shvius applies to it too. We were defining the type of object that shvius applies to. Ready for this? We learn a braisa. Ein moisrin peiros shvius le mishra v'loy lekvusa. Literal translation? You don't want to help me? Ein moisrin. Ein, we do not. What's limsor? To give over. Mesora means you give something over directly, right? Ein moisrin. We don't give over peiros, fruit, shvius, fruit of shvius, lola mishra. You know what mishra means? To soak. What do you soak? So a lot of times people would take flax and soak it. Does anybody know what flax is? Some kind of seeds, flax seeds. It's like an energy drink, man. So no one knows what flax is. And it's like one of those words, you know? Like vessel. You ever need someone to pass you a cup at the table and you're like, could you please pass me the vessel? Nobody ever uses the word vessel. Nobody ever uses the word flax. We call it linen. You heard of linen? Linen. Linen is nice. Linen comes from flax. So the process of producing the linen involves soaking the raw material called flax to eventually be, you know, produce the linen. So we're going to soak it in certain things. What do you want to soak it in? Well, you know, throughout history, we've used all kinds of things to soak things in. Sometimes less disgusting, sometimes more disgusting. You know, tanning. When you have leather and you want to tan the leather, you know they used to do it with manure. So the people that were tanners had a tough time finding a shidduch. But whatever, if you're rich enough, I guess. But so whatever, throughout all of history, there were different raw materials, there were natural materials that were used for all kinds of things. So to soak the flax to produce the linen, so you could use fruit juices. Maybe you're going to use wine, maybe grape juice, maybe whatever it is. So that was useful to soak it and soften it up so you could make it into linen. Are you allowed to use peiros shvius, make it into a juice, make it into liquid, and soak your flax in it to produce good quality linen? Are you allowed to do that? That's what this brisa seems to be addressing. Are we addressing the type of thing or what you're allowed to do with it? What you're allowed to do with it. So it seems like we're in a slightly different direction here. That's why I'm a little confused, but let's try to work it out the best we can. The question of the Gemara was, Ve'etim lahasaga tanaihi, whether you're allowed to, whether shvius applies to wood is a machlokas tanoim, based on this brisa that talks about what you're allowed to do with peiros shvius. So let's work it through. You're not allowed to give over your fruit of shvius for soaking and not for laundering. So you can't use the liquids for soaking your flax. You can't use the liquids for doing laundry. Rabbi Yossi says, Mosrin, you can give it over. You can use your peiros shvius for the purposes of soaking and laundering. So that's a machlokas. My time at the Tanakama. What's the reason that Tanakama holds that you are not allowed to use it for those purposes? Damar kra, because the pasuk says le'achla. It's yours to eat, v'lo lemishra v'lo lekvusa, and not for soaking or for laundering. My time at Rabbi Yosi. What's the reason of Rabbi Yosi? Amar kra lachem. The pasuk says lachem le'achla. It's yours. It's yours for all the purposes you want it.
And eating?
So confusing, right? Because they seem to be ignoring the fact that it says both. It says lachem lachla. That was our whole Gemara. Our whole Gemara has been saying you have to mitigate it. Because it's lachem, but it's not totally lachem, it's only lachla. But it's not just lachla, it's lachem. So there's a mitigation. It's a lachem in any way that's like achila. What's going on with this machlokes tanoim? This machlokes tanoim seems to be picking on one of the two words and ignoring the other one. It's la'achila, you're only allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to do other things with it. What else would you do with it if you're not eating it? Soaking things in it? Doing laundry with it? Can't do it. It says la'achila. Only eating is allowed. And the other opinion holds, what are you talking about? It says lachem, it's yours. Do whatever you want. So what is going on here? The Tanakama holds you're not allowed to use it for soaking and laundry. What does he do with the word lachem? This is where it comes from. He holds that it means there is a tzad hashav, there is a mitigation of lachem. It's lachem la'achla. Meaning, like we said the whole time, that it's yours to use whatever way you want that's similar to achila. It means any time that your benefit and its destruction is simultaneous. Yatsu mishra ukvusa, which excludes soaking and laundering. Shahanasan achar biuran, because the benefit is after it's been destroyed. Because why? I don't know, I would have said this on my own. But the Gemara is saying, because the benefit from your clothes, or from the flax, is after it's finished soaking, not while it's soaking. So we're okay with that? Okay, so that's obviously the Tana that we've been going like in our entire Gemara. So let me just say it clearly. When he said, la'achla v'lo l'mishra l'kvusa, he didn't mean there's only one word in the pasuk. He meant, I have a whole thought process here. Because it says lachem la'achla, it means yours for any use that's similar to achila, and that's why I'm excluding soaking and laundry. Good, that's our Gemara. So we're clear according to this. Now our problem is only Rabbi Yosi. For Rabbi Yosi, what does he do with the word Achla? Lachem lachla? Hakziv lachla? He holds you can use it for laundering and for... That's a problem, right? Because the hanoah and the destruction are not simultaneous. So where's he coming from? Rabbi Yosi, lachla? He says that is necessary to tell you you're allowed to eat it and you're not allowed to what's called malugma. Malugma is a code word for medicinal benefit. Malugma is medicinal benefit. So it means you're not allowed to use it for medicine. It has to be eaten in the normal way. Anytime you're consuming it in a medicinal way, that's not what we're talking about.
So you're saying that you're allowed to do anything with the lachem, and when it comes for the lachla, it means that when you consume it, you don't consume it for eating and not for...
Bingo, food. Right on target, Albert. Awesome. That lachem really means lachem for all of your uses. You can do whatever you want with it. There's one little exception.
When you eat it, you have to eat it.
You're not allowed to use it for medicinal purposes. Okay, wait a minute. So let's just finish it. Kiddusanya, he brings a proof, or at least we're bringing a proof for Rabbi Yosi. As we learn in a braisa, la achla v'lo l'melugma, that, okay, I need to give this a very short hakdama. I want to finish the Amud, we're going to finish with this, but I just want to give a short hakdama to this. There is a style of medrash that you will encounter again and again and again and again and again in Gemaras and in Midrashim, in any Tanaic literature. What it does is, it introduces a concept and says, it sounds like this is what it means. Like a definitive statement. Then it backtracks and says, is that true? And then it works out its original statement to be true. Starts off with a statement, questions the statement, and then works out the psukim to show how the statement was true. This is just a structure of midrashim you'll find again and again and again and again. So this is one example. What does it want to say? Kiddusan is willing to render braisa. La'achla v'lo l'malugma. Statement. You're allowed to eat it. You're not allowed to use it for medicine. Okay, that's a statement that we're making saying a fact. How do you know that's true? So you said. So it goes on to say, Ata omer la'achla v'lo l'malugma. You say it's for eating and not for medicinal purposes. O eino ela v'lo l'kvusa. Or maybe it means you're not allowed to use it for laundry. So that's the Gemara's question on that. Are you sure? It's not really asking. It's just a way of fleshing out its statement. I'll prove it to you. Kishahu omer lachem. When it says lachem, meaning, had it only said lachem. When it says lachem, harilik fusa amur. So obviously lachem includes laundry, because if it's yours, you can do whatever you want with it. Hamani makayim la'achla. So how do I fulfill the word la'achla to eat it? To eat it and not for medicinal purposes. Continues the braisa, the medrash. Mara isa la rabbis es akvusa lahotis amalugma. How do you see, how do you know to include laundry? Meaning, ilachem includes you are allowed to do laundry. Lahotis amalugma, and you're not allowed to use it for medicinal purposes. Marba ni es akvusa. Okay, it doesn't finish the statement. Maybe we should reverse it or something like that. Maybe we should say that maybe medicinal purposes are included, but laundry is not. Like, how do you know how to go on that? The Gemara answers, Marba ani, the Bryce answers, Marba ani es akvusa sheshava b'chol adam. I'm including laundry because that's something that's equal to everyone. Everybody does laundry the same. Umotzias amalugma, and I'm excluding medicinal purposes, she'ena shava l'chol adam, because that's not a normal, regular use by everyone all the time. So where the exception is going to be the minimal exception, not the maximum exception. That seems to be the rule that the Bryce is reflecting. Okay, so where did we get in all of this? It sounds like the Gemara has defended its position that there's a machlokas tanoim here. But wait a minute, and we're going to finish just conceptually with this. Wait a minute. The Gemara spent a lot of time trying to say what types of objects are defined as having kedusha shvius. And the Gemara said anything which is lachem le'achla. Meaning,
it's your use, whatever you want, as long as it's like achila, meaning that when you get your benefit, it's simultaneous to the destruction of the object, which is like eating food. The benefit is simultaneous to the destruction of the object. Good. Mara says, I thought that was a machlokes tanoim. Why is it a machlokes tanoim? Because there is a machlokes tanoim over what you can use peros shvius for. The mainstream opinion, the Tanakhama, says you're only allowed to use it for things that your hanoah and the destruction is simultaneous. Lachem lachla. But Riesi holds, no. Those things you can use for any purpose that you want. Right? Just not for medicinal purposes. Okay? But here's where I get confused. The Gemara seems to be saying from that, oh, so here you see it's a machlokes on how to learn the pasuk. So if you hold like the Rabbanan, that's our Gemara. But if you hold like Rabbi Yossi, it comes out that wood, can you finish the sentence? What about wood? Wood should have Kedusha Shvius. Why? Because this is Lachem. What do you mean? But it says Lachem Lachla. Lachla just excludes medicinal stuff. But any other use that you can get out of it
makes it
is included. But wait a minute. But he's talking about what you're allowed to use it for. Right? He's talking about what you're allowed to use it for. So maybe everyone agrees that once you define what's considered peros shvius, then you have a machlokes what you're allowed to use it for. But maybe everyone agrees about the definition of the peros shvius. So the answer is obviously not. The Gemara says, no, that's not correct. Because there are two things happening in this pasuk, and they go together. The two things happening in this pasuk is that number one, it's defining what peros shvius are. And number two, it's also defining what you can use your peros shvius for. But they're not mutually exclusive. Okay, whatever. That's the bottom line. So I just want to finish that point. Seems like the Gemara is saying two things here. It's saying, number one, it defines what is peros shvius. And number two, once you have defined it, it also defines what you're allowed to use your peros shvius for. Everyone agrees that fruit is peros shvius. The question of whether or not you're allowed to use your peros shvius for laundry is a secondary question. Because it has kedusha shvius, that we know. Are you allowed to use it for laundry? I don't know. Lamdino Rabbein. So Gemara says, we learn not also from this principle. It's going to be the same issue is involved. But whoever learns the pasuk as expansive is going to expand the definition also of what is considered peros shvius. And whoever learns the pasuk more narrowly is going to apply those both as well. That it's more narrow what is peros shvius, and also more narrow what you're allowed to use your peros shvius.